Wow. Thank you. Amen. 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 Are you glad you came to church today? Amen. Let it be. If you're glad, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I tell you what, it is great to be in the Lord's house today. If you have your Bibles, let's open up in Matthew chapter 23, that is. My bad. Matthew chapter 23. We're going to be doing verse 27 and 28. This part of the Bible is called the seven woes. You're like, whoa. Whoa's cool, isn't it? Whoa. We had a debate a while ago about who said whoa back when I was growing up. I thought it was the Fonz, but he went, hey, right? And then I thought maybe it was John Travolta and Welcome Back, Carter. Maybe he did the whoa. But there was somebody that went whoa back in the day, right? That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the other whoa. You know, the whoa when your mama looks at you and goes, you just wait till your daddy comes home. Whoa. You shouldn't have glued your brother's hands to the table with that super glue. You wait till your daddy comes home. What she's saying is, woe to you when your father comes back. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the regret, the sorrow, the you should not be doing this type thing. And that was a lot of y'all that could relate to that story. I mean, that kind of concerns me there. But it is a wonderful thing that we could be in the Lord's house. And I tell you what, the music today was just off the chain. It was, see, I'm the youth pastor here. So I'm going to say words that you old people might not understand today, okay? Because I'm just kidding. I am so old that I am retro. I'm bringing stuff back. I'm bringing Cool and Hip back. I'm telling you. Before it's over with, all these kids are going to be talking like me. And I'm going to go, that is not good. So, whoa, yeah. Oh, I think we got a trend started already here. Okay, let's go to God's Word. Let's read what Jesus was saying to the teachers of the law and to the Pharisees. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today thanking you for the opportunity to be in your house. We just ask you to just lead, guide, and direct this message that something be read from thy word will bring someone closer to thee, and that is our soul's desire. We ask all of us in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we're looking at this, I want you to understand that we serve a risen Savior, but when Jesus walked this earth, he was not weak. He was strong, people. And when he saw something that was wrong, he pointed it out. And it didn't matter who he was talking to, because who he's talking to right now are the same people just a few chapters down the road are going to be the ones that falsely arrest him, falsely try him, and falsely convict him and sentence him to death. These people are powerful. You see, we have like, we call it separation of government or state, which is not in the Constitution, by the way, people. So government and religion, it's not in the Constitution. Y'all need to research that one, right? We can do more in the government as religious people than they let you know. So think about that one. But he's talking to the people that are in power. They are the teachers of the law. They are the Pharisees. They are the religious rulers there. And the government and the religious people are connected. So he's going up to them, and he is putting a smackdown on them. So I told you. Yeah, you're like, what's a smackdown? Well, I asked your kid about that. You'll find out. So he is putting a hurt on them, right? He is going to them. He's telling them to their face what they truly are. And he's using symbolism. Don't you love that? Jesus is using stuff, and he's using metaphors, and he's using symbolism that even today we can understand and that we can comprehend. Because even though he's talking to them back then, it applies to us today too. So this message was going to be about being a hypocrite. But yesterday, God laid it on my heart to go a different direction. Same verses, same thing, but we're going to the direction of that God wants all of you. He wants 100% of you, okay? He just doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you, okay? And isn't that amazing? Isn't that great that you can read God's word and you get something out of it? You read God's word, you get something out of it. You read God's word, you get something out of it, right? It is God's living word, and it's the Holy Spirit that is leading, guiding, and directing the whole time. So when we look at it from this point of view, Jesus is using a symbolism that the Jewish people understand, especially the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Because you see, in chapter 23, verse 1, 2, and 3, Jesus tells the people that are there. I want you to understand something about when Jesus was here on the earth. When he was walking and he was talking, there were people. The people came to see him. He was doing mighty works, mighty miracles. He was doing great teaching. He was teaching about himself. He's talking about the future, what's going to happen. And the people are there, but not everybody liked him. So you got the teachers and you got the Pharisees that are against him, but you got the other people there that are trying to learn. They're trying to grow. So what he tells them in this verse is, he says that even though they are the teachers of the law, and he's saying this to them, he says they sit in the seat of Moses. Now, Moses is the lawgiver, right? Ten Commandments, the Mosaic laws, all that stuff, right? He says they sit in that seat. Because they sit in that seat, you are to do what they say because they're teaching the law. What they're teaching is correct. Just don't do what they do. Have you ever heard that? Do as I say, don't do as I do. I've actually said that to my kids before. That is not biblical, people. It's not biblical at all. Our actions should back up our words. Let me tell you how valuable that is. Pastor Ben could be up here, and he could say 10,000 words, right? And then he could go out in the community and do something stupid, and what are they going to remember? They're going to remember what he did, right? Now, he doesn't do that. He's a good guy, right? He's a good guy. You're a good guy. Yeah, well. But it's the whole thing about this situation is that actions speak louder than words, right? But God wants both of them. He wants your words and he wants your actions. And that's why he's getting on to the religious leaders of those days, right? Because he's getting the words. They're telling them the law, but they're not living by it. They're not upholding it. They're saying, you do this, but I'm going to do that, okay? Now, one reason why I changed and God led me to change about preaching on hypocrisy is because I am so proud of Corinth Church. I am so proud of y'all. I am proud to be on staff here. I am proud to be a member here. And yes, I am proud to be a believer and worship with you. Because when I'm out in the highways and the byways, right, when I'm dealing with over at the high school, at the middle school, when I'm dealing with the football team and coaches, with the sheriff's department, or one of our many lovely food lions, people are coming up to me. And we'll start talking. You know, they know me or they don't know me, but we'll start talking because, you know, I don't know if y'all know this, but I'm getting a reputation as a talker. Yeah. I have some really loving people in here, too, and they say, hey, I like the way you preach because I can hear you. You know what that means? I got a big mouth, right? Amen, sister. And so when I'm out in the highways by and I'm talking to people, I hear good stuff about Corinth. I'm serious. I hear good stuff. They say, there's stuff going on in Corinth. They're reaching the community. They're doing good things. And you know, Pastor Ben can get up here and he can preach all he wants. And if we don't go and leave this building and do what God wants us to do and share the word of Jesus Christ and help the community the way we should, then it's just going to be in here in this building. But praise God, it's not. It's in the community and I'm hearing it. And you're saying, well, you're on staff, man. They're not going to say anything bad about Corinth in front of you. Bull. I'm the first one they would say something bad about. I mean, seriously, they look at me and go, you really work at Corinth? That church down there with those bunch of hypocrites and all that stuff? How dare you be down there? You know what I mean? They don't say that. That is amazing, people. That is great. That is wonderful. So I want to encourage you because you're not only doing it with your mouth, but you're doing it with your actions. And I encourage you to keep it up and even go a step further. Do even more than you do. Make the people and every word that comes out of their mouth be something good about Corinth Baptist. And it's not because of what we say in here, but it is. But it's what we do out there, okay? So when he's talking to the religious leaders and the Pharisees, he's putting them to the task. Yeah, he is slapping them down. And he's saying, you're like a whitewashed tomb. Now, how many of you really think that's a big deal? A whitewashed tomb, right? Back in this day, it was. Because every year, the Jewish people would go out and they would whitewash every tomb and every grave. And they did it for a reason. In Numbers 19, verse 16, it tells us this. If you come in contact with a dead person, either by the sword or by natural causes, or you come in contact with a human bone, or even touch the grave, you are unclean for 7 days. right? So why did they whitewash a tomb? It's so they wouldn't run into it. They wouldn't step on it by accident. But they were more concerned about the tomb, which the tomb was not the one that made them unclean, but what was in the tomb is what made them unclean, right? So, but they were more concerned about that. So every year, these religious leaders, they went and did this. Since they were a child, they went and whitewashed tombs. So it meant something to them, didn't it? They understood what Jesus was saying. He was looking at them and he was going, you know what? You teach the law, but you don't uphold the law. You have one rule for them, you have another rule for these. And this whole seven woes are directed towards them. And he's telling them things like, you want the best seat at all the dinners. You want to be recognized in the markets when they come in. You want them to say, Rabbi. You dress in the nicest robes and the nicest garments. And you are like Pontius. And you're the one that wants to stand out. And people go, look at him. He is a religious guy. That's what they're wanting. And he's also talking about the extra burdens they put upon the people. All these things that they're doing to all the other people. But Jesus says that those people, those same people that are putting the burdens upon the people, will not lift a finger to help that person. So you see how Jesus, man, he's taking it to them. He's not holding back. He is telling them exactly what they need to hear. They're not listening, though. And they walked with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? They saw the miracles. They heard the teaching. They saw Jesus Christ, and yet they were not convinced he was the Messiah. And I would love to think in my life that if I was one of those people, I would have turned at that moment and go, he is the Messiah. You know, I would love to say that, but I don't have that chance. Right now, we live on faith, do we not? We live on faith. And that's a great thing because Jesus says, there's going to be people who are going to come after you. He's talking to disciples even greater than you. Why? Because you walked with me, they're going to live by not seeing me. They're going to live by faith. People, we have the power. We really, truly do. But he used this example of the whitewashed tombs, but it is very difficult to bring a tomb in here. They're kind of heavy, so I didn't bring it in. And also, I know people would get mad if I start whitewashing stuff in here and getting it all on the clean carpet and everything, you know. So I'm not doing it. But this is a good example. This right here is a shofar. It's a ram's horn, right? This right here is used to bring people in. Like if you go into war, they blow it. If it's a time of peace, they blow it. If there's a religious festival going on, they blow them. If you need to know something, announcement, things like that, they blow them. The reason why they're blowing them is because they want to get people's attention. They want people to come in. It has a purpose behind it. Does that make sense? Okay. So this is the ram's horn. Now, it makes a noise which I can't make from this thing. I have tried for years to get this thing to work. You would think it would be easy to blow in this end and noise come out this end. But I'm told by a lot of people that I've asked that my aperture in my lips is not correct. Yeah. I don't know what that actually means, but I cannot do it, right? It gives me a headache. So I'm not going to blow this for you, okay? We're going to use this as an example. So when you look at this, right, this come off a living ram. This is its horn. So that ram had to die for me to hold this up here, right? There had to be blood shed for me to get this horn. Makes sense, right? Okay. So I have this in my hand. Now, the outside of it is made out of the same thing as fingernails and hair and stuff of that nature. It's hard, okay? And you can tell that when you sand it down, you can shine it up, you can put a gloss on it. It looks pretty, right? It's nice. So you could put it on your coffee table. Can y'all see it on the other side? You put it on your coffee table, and it could be a very good conversation piece, right? It's a very good conversation piece. Look at the shape of it. Look how shiny it is, man. And it, you know, it's awesome. What's going to happen in a couple of days is that it's going to start stinking really bad because it's only done halfway. The job is not finished, right? And it's going to get to the point where it's going to stink so bad that you're going to throw it away because all we did was clean the outside of it. You know what's inside this? We have bone marrow. We have blood, we have tissue, we have ligaments. We have all those wonderful things that if you leave them sitting out in the sun or something like that, you're going to know it. I found out yesterday at the party that in our beach bag that we used at the river party about a month ago, my lovely wife was looking for it, right? So she went into her closet and she got the beach bag out and she was looking in there and, you know, the normal stuff, suntan lotion, goggles, a big old pack of weenies that's been in there for a month, sauerkraut, all the stuff that we brought from the river, well, I brought from the river and I forgot about them. And they're sitting in this beach bag. Beach bag is great because it's got Auburn on the outside of it, man. It's a beautiful beach bag. But what was coming out of it stank, right? So what do you have to do is you have to clean out the, you have to clean the outside out to make it function. So that's what you do with this. But it's an ongoing process. You see, this right here, once you get it cleaned out, it's not completely clean. What you have to do is you have to clean it out again. And you have to clean it out again. And you have to clean it out again. And you got tendons and things in here that don't want to stay, right? And you can see them in there. And if I put vinegar and water in here, which is a traditional way to clean it, there would still be a kind of a smell that will come out because that's the way it goes, right? But it has a purpose. It has a purpose. And that purpose is to make a noise that people will hear and they will come. Now, if you look at it from that point of view, but you apply it to our lives, you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and Jesus says this, in me, you are a new creation. The old has died, and the new is here. You're something different because you are born again because you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So if we take this and we apply it to our lives, think about it from this point of view. Somebody shed blood for you. Somebody had to die so that you could be a new creation. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, you can't be anything better than you are. But he died for you. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He paid your sin debt that nobody else could pay. He paid it so you could stand before God one day and that you could be in the presence of God because of what he did justified you in the presence of God. So if you look at it from that point of view, the ram died so we can have this. Jesus Christ died so we could have everlasting life and we can have it more abundantly here on this earth. So it's not just the forever we're talking about. We're talking about now too. Just like this ram horn has a purpose, so do you. And God wants all of you. He doesn't want you to look good on the outside and be dirty on the inside. He doesn't want you to be halfway there. He doesn't want a half Christian. He wants a whole believer. What does he say in the Bible? He says that I'd rather you be hot or cold. I do not want you to be, why not? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, because it makes him sick at his stomach. He will vomit you out. That's how much it makes him sick. He'd rather you be hot or cold than be lukewarm about him. He'd rather you be 100% for him or none at all. Isn't that amazing? And let me tell you something. If you give God 100% of you, he gives you 110% of him. If you go somewhere to work for God, he's already there waiting on you. If you need power, understanding, guidance, leadership, whatever you need and desire to do the work of God, he will provide it because he wants that relationship with you. He doesn't have to have the relationship with us to exist. He's God. He chooses to have a relationship with us, and that should humble each and every one of us. So when we look at it from this point of view, and this ram's horn, it has a purpose, right? But that purpose cannot be accomplished unless the inside is cleaned out. And what is that purpose? To call people in, to get people's attention. How are you going to tell people about Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and how great and wonderful he is and what he's done in your life if you don't even know him? How can you tell people how great it is to serve Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and yet you do not show it? People, we should be the happiest, most blessed people on this planet because we have Jesus Christ. Man, they got me. But if we're going to be who we need to be, then we got to be all in. We have to be 100%. We have to be outside and inside. And you say, well, how can I be inside clean? And Jesus tells us, he said, if you accept me as the Lord and Savior, I will make you a new creation. I will make you different. And how can we be clean? Well, how can you be dirty if the Holy Spirit lives in you? I mean, praise God. But you know, sanctification doesn't come at one time. It's an ongoing process. You know why? Because we're human, we're faulty, we're frail, we're weak, and we have sin. So sanctification comes in stages, man. It's just like that horn. When you clean it out, you got to clean it out again. You got to clean it out again. You got to clean it out again. So it will work. It will accomplish what it needs to do. So if you do know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you're saying like, well, I'm not the person I need to be. Well, duh. None of us are the person that we need to be, but we're striving to be something better than we are. So my question to you today is very, very simple. Have you given God your all? Are you clean on the outside, or are you pretending to be a Christian out in the world? Because people, you may be able to fake it in here. You may be able to say the right things, do the right things, sing the right songs, act like a Christian in here, but they will see the difference out there. They can spot a hypocrite. They can understand what it means to lie because they live in that world. Don't think you can fool them. But most importantly, you're not going to fool God. Do y'all understand that God knows your heart? He knows your desires. He understands you. So if you want to be a true worker for God, you got to give me all. 100%, people. And the rewards outweigh anything you could ever do for God. He's already given his son. He's already given you heaven and paradise forever with him. And he said, well, what can I do? What can I do to make up for all that? You can lead somebody else to Jesus Christ so they can accept his son, so they can go to heaven, so that we can spend all eternity with them. I'll ask William if he'll come get a song ready. The praise team. Band. I'll ask our prayer team if they'll go in the back. And I'm going to ask Brother Ben if he'll come up here. I want to speak from personal experience of me, nobody else. I have not always been the Christian I need to be. I am faulty, I'm frail, I'm weak. So, you're in the boat with me. I mean, I'm not saying you are, but we're all in the same boat together, people. We all deal with problems. We all deal with situations. We all deal with sin. We all deal with these things. Don't act like you're doing it by yourself, because you're not. We're here as a body of believers to give strength to each other. You say, why do you go to church? This is one of the reasons why you go to hear Jesus Christ, but you go to hear and worship and gather the strength from fellow believers that are going through things that you're going through and things that they've already been through that they can help you go through. Do not neglect the coming together. Do not neglect it. And once you leave this place, you know that feeling when we were singing? You know? You felt that, right? I felt it. I felt the hair on my arm stand up. I'm like, amen, brother. I mean, I love to get up and speak after that. I mean, that is awesome, right? But guys and ladies and gentlemen, we need to do the same thing when we're talking to people outside. We need to give them our all, and we need to give them everything that God has blessed us with.